In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The basis for our thoughts this morning come from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 17. This then is my conclusion. The right happiness for men is to eat and drink and be content with all the work he has to do under the sun during the few days God has given him to live, since this is the lot assigned to him. Reading Ecclesiastes, one is tempted sarcastically to say, this guy must have been the life of the party. What a wet blanket. On the other hand, when you take a look at his words, you have to say, boy, he is either a very astute observer of life or is a very good Lutheran theologian. Let's take his observations and place them into a little wider theological context. His observations both with regard to money and his observations about the conclusions he draws with how shall we then live. You might begin by noting that as human creatures, we live simultaneously in three interdependent relationships. We're related to God, related to neighbor, and related to the goods of creation. As God intended us to be in creation, we are to live from the gifts of God. God is the giver of the gift. We are the receivers of his gifts. Living from the gifts of God, we then carry the goods of creation to our neighbor in exercising dominion over creation and in the development of culture. The fall into sin, then, was not just one sin involving one of these relationships. It had three aspects to it. Refusing the gifts of God, choosing to be independent from God, one might say, we had nowhere else to turn but to rely upon ourselves and upon our works. We turned inward and downward. And thus clinging to the gifts of creation, we closed our hands to God and turned our back on our neighbor. Being contingent beings, we had to cling to something. And so we deified creation. Rather than ruling over creation, the goods of creation now ruled over human beings. In the end, one can find only disappointment. For the goods of creation were never meant to do or to serve as our gods. They were not designed for that. Apparently, it doesn't take divine revelation to figure this out. The author of Ecclesiastes was a very astute observer. He saw how life worked and does not work. And without using theological language, he well recognized the sin of idolatry at work. Earlier, he looks at popularity. Now he looks at money. Luther called money the most common idol on earth. The author of Ecclesiastes would probably agree. And what does he observe? If one loves money, one will never be satisfied. If you have much, you will never have enough. Some calamity will occur, and you won't have it to pass on to your descendants. The more you have, the more mouths you have to feed, the more laborers you have to pay. You don't get a lot of sleep. Interesting, the Lord's Catechism says a lot of the same thing. Those who have a lot, worry about losing it. Those who don't have a lot, worry about getting it. Not true? Take a look at Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Take a look at Lottery Fever. What else does he observe? Well, he observes that he who dies with the most toys does not win. Come into life with nothing, you leave this world with nothing. Short life, worry, grief, don't get to keep stuff. What's the point? Seems unfair. You work our whole lives, and what do we get? What's a guy to do? Well, his conclusion seems to be, here's what I think, work hard and enjoy the gifts that God has given you. Eat, drink, and enjoy what we have worked for during the short life that God has given us. Well, it seems to suggest two things. Those of you who know me well won't be surprised by this. In the presence of God, we live by faith. Among our neighbors, we live by work. How do we get from the author's assumptions or observations to his conclusion? Now, here's where our theology kicks in. Given that the human heart is a perpetual factory of idols, given the fact that humans tend to view all of life, especially life with God, through the schema of works. Well, here we might take a line from the movie Men in Black. You have this farmer who quips, "You can have my gun when you can pry it from my cold, dead hands." The alien responds, "Your offer is acceptable." What about humans? "You can have my idols, my money, my popularity, my success, when you can pry them from my cold, dead heart." That's acceptable. We have to be killed and then made alive. Reformation will not do. It takes regeneration. And so we have been plunged into the death of Christ. We die with Christ to our sinful ways of thinking and living. We are at the same time made alive with Christ by being united with him in his resurrection. We are new people. We have new hearts. But note that in loosening the grips of our hearts on the goods of creation, the gospel does not negate or deny the goodness of creation. It does not loosen our grips upon this world by removing us from this world or by disparaging life in this world. Justification, as Gerhard Ebeling once put it, lets creation be creation and redemption be redemption. To a certain extent, Christ restores us to our place within creation. He sets things aright. He puts relationships aright. In other words, before God, we live by faith. We live from the reception of the gifts of redemption as well as from the gifts of creation. Before neighbor, we live by works, that is, by carrying the gifts of God to our neighbor. No longer clinging to the world for dear life, we do not need to flee into Christian colonies. Instead, we become deeply involved within the world. We roll up our sleeves and declare, "This world has been bought by Christ and his work. I'm going to serve by living life as he intended it to be. Let's get to work." Our inability to foresee, let alone predetermine or control the results of our actions should never prevent us from going about our tasks within our vocations. To be sure, we cannot control the outcomes of how our children will turn out or the labor of our hands. We cannot determine what Congress and courts will do. While we cannot control that, Christ does. Our lives are in good hands. Hands that made creation, hands that purchased us as nails pierced them. Indeed, these hands work through gloves. They work through the gloves of human voices that proclaim forgiveness and deliver the gifts of salvation. So also they work within the gloves of human creatures within creation. You might say God works under a mask. What does this mean? Again, before God, we live from his gifts. Within this world, we live by works. Work hard. Enjoy the gifts of God. Or to use Luther's language, labor. Let him give the fruits. Govern. Let him give his blessing. Fight. Let him give the victory. Preach. Let him win the hearts. Take a husband or wife. Let him produce the children. Eat and drink. Let him nourish and strengthen. The author of Ecclesiastes had it right. We live from the gifts of God, and we go about our tasks within this world. That's life as he intended it to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.